The sermon for our celebration of the Ascension of our Lord is based on the appointed scripture lessons, which have been read in worship thus far this morning. If you would like to follow along with the written sermon notes today, you'll find those at the bottom of page 9 in the bulletin. I've mentioned before that the family in which I grew up in is a family of sayings. Sayings seem to be the way that we interpret life. And there's a saying in my family that fits very well with the occasion of the Ascension of our Lord, and that saying is quite simple. Things change. Things change. Sometimes it is said with a note of resignation. Things change. I wish they hadn't and that they didn't, but things change. Other times it is said with a matter-of-fact tone. Things change. And that's the way life is. Things change is a good way to think about our celebration of the Ascension of our Lord on multiple levels. The event itself represents a dramatic change in the lives of Jesus' first disciples. Think about it. For about 3 years, the disciples had walked with Jesus. They had listened to his teachings. They had seen him perform miracles. They had seen him die on the cross, rise on the third day. They had seen him, the resurrected Lord, during those days and weeks after his resurrection. And now, suddenly, Jesus ascends and his visible presence is no longer with them. Things change. But things change also fits when we think about our celebration of the Ascension. A few generations ago, and maybe some of us who are a bit older in our audience this morning can still remember, as I can, that a few generations ago, Ascension Day was really a pretty big deal. Do any of you still remember that from days gone by? I see a few hands here and there. But largely because Ascension always falls on a Thursday, because it is exactly 40 days after Easter, Ascension has become less and less focused upon. In fact, it is all but forgotten. Who of us, for example, this past Thursday morning when we got out of bed, got up and said, "It's Ascension Day!" Didn't think so. Yes, things change. Here at Trinity, we celebrate Ascension on the Sunday immediately following Ascension Day. This year, Ascension Day was this past Thursday, May the 10th. But why bother saving Ascension Day? Why not just let it fade away completely? Why do we set aside a Sunday specifically to talk about and reflect upon this event in the life of our Lord? Does it really matter if we celebrate Ascension Day or not? And maybe even more importantly for us to reflect upon this morning is this. What's really happening anyway? Jesus leads his disciples to a hilltop. He commissions them to go and make disciples, but he tells them to wait in Jerusalem until they have received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then as he blesses them, he begins to ascend into the skies. They watch as he becomes more and more distant and harder to see until finally a cloud hides him from their sight. And then, as you might imagine, they're standing there staring up into the sky, and the angel says, "Why do you stand there staring up into the sky? Jesus will return in the same way you have seen him go up into heaven." Did Jesus leave his disciples? Well, kind of. Jesus left them in terms of his visible presence. No longer could they look and point and say, "Hey, there's Jesus. He's right over there." They could no longer see his visible presence. And yet in Matthew's gospel, as Jesus commissions his disciples before his ascension, he makes a wonderful promise. He says to them, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Even though Jesus' visible presence was no longer with those first disciples, he most certainly was still with them. And while we do not enjoy Jesus' visible presence, Jesus' promise is just as true for us. "Surely I am with you always," Jesus says to you and to me. And we find great comfort in that wonderful promise. There's lots of good news when it comes to Jesus' ascension. It shows he has completed the task before him. Why did Jesus ascend back into heaven? Because he had completed the task, which was the reason that God sent him into the world to take on human flesh. The author of Hebrews states that we look to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus himself declared, "It is finished," on the cross, as he accomplished the victory over sin for us, and then on the third day accomplished victory over death as well in his glorious resurrection. Jesus ascends in victory. His ascension is like his victory parade as he ascends in glory and is praised by angels and archangels and by the saints in heaven. Jesus has completed the work his Father gave him to do. As the author of Hebrews states, and as is picked up in both the Apostles and Nicene creeds, Jesus ascended into heaven to be, quote, "seated at the right hand of the Father." Seated at the right hand of the Father does not mean that someplace up there somewhere there is a throne with God the Father seated on it, and immediately to the right is another throne with Jesus seated on it. No, when you hear that phrase, "seated at the right hand of the Father," think more authority than location. Seated at the right hand of the Father means that Jesus is Lord of all. He is Lord over all. He co-reigns and co-rules with the Heavenly Father over all the universe and over the church. Jesus Christ is that one described by St. Paul in Ephesians as far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named. He is head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus is Lord of the church. Jesus is Lord of the entire universe. And Jesus is Lord of your life and of my life. Maybe the best good news associated with the ascension of our Lord is found in the angel's words. "This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, and Jesus will return in like fashion. Jesus will return as promised, visibly in power. He will return to usher in his kingdom in the fullest sense. Then we will see him face to face. Then we will enjoy his visible presence. Then we will be in the presence of our Lord and serve him in his kingdom for all eternity. Jesus' ascension is filled with God's grace and God's mercy and fills our hearts and lives with hope and with joy. Ascension's like the perfect bow on top of the package. Do you absolutely need it? Not really. And yet, the ascension of our Lord ties that package together beautifully. That package of Jesus' death for us, his resurrection to conquer death in our place, and his ascension in triumph to rule over all things, even as we await his return on the last day. So happy ascension. Rejoice that Jesus Christ is risen, ascended, glorified. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.